Sometimes we look at other people and they may have more than we have, and a lot of times we can't keep up with other people, and so we become jealous. But real love doesn't do that. Real love rejoices. Say, man, I praise God for my brother that he is being prosperous, and I thank God. I'm continuing to pray for him that he will continue to be prosperous. You're satisfied where God has you. You're not coveting after somebody else.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul once lived only for himself, and yet he never felt satisfied. He didn't consider how his selfishness hurt his loved ones until he surrendered his heart to Christ. Then he learned to put others first. For a free DVD that shares Raul's testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We are in a new week, and we're moving right along in our study of God's saving grace. Today, as you join Raul in pondering how the Lord's unconditional love fueled his plan to rescue us from sin, you'll be challenged to consider your own willingness to sacrifice for the sake of others. As Raul unfolds today's passage, we'll see that just as Jesus willingly obeyed God's plan to die for our sin, we have the opportunity to spread his love through our daily witness. Here's Raul Reese now in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
In verse 1 he said, "Though I speak with tongues of men or of angels and have not love or agape, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries of all the knowledge and all, notice, and though I have all the faith and that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned at the fire and have not agape love, it profits me nothing. Everything and anything that we do tonight or tomorrow or the next day, if it's not done in agape love, it is nothing. It is of no value to us and to God." That's why Paul the Apostle, before he finished chapter 12, in the last verse of chapter 12, he said, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a better or a more excellent way how to follow." And that was through the love that is offered to us through agape love. Now, in this great nature of God's love that he has to offer us, he wants us to understand that this relationship is not only to ourselves, but in relationship to other people. I think that a lot of times when we think of love, we're always trying to fulfill ourselves by people loving us, but we're never really expressing our love for others. That was my whole life before I was a Christian. I wanted people to love me. I wanted people to do things for me. But when it came for myself to give myself to others, there's no way that I could ever do that. And I think that even as Christians, a lot of times we can become so self-centered that we are not really Christ-centered in our lives. That we can get into a place where God is asking us to love our moms, to love our dads, to love our brothers, our sisters, to love our enemies, to love our friends. And one of the hardest things to do is to love those that are constantly irritating us. Those that are constantly looking for a way to destroy us. And the love that God has to offer every single one of us tonight, the love that God had when he brought his son Jesus Christ into the world and he took him and he crucified him by obedience, is the same type of love tonight that Jesus Christ wants you and I to experience before we leave this building. And I think that tonight we just really need to let the Holy Spirit really minister to our hearts in the areas that we're hurting. There's probably people here tonight that are going to meet with fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, friends, loved ones, relatives. And at the same time, there's going to be deep areas in your heart of resentment and bad feelings. And Satan is going to use that resentment and that bad feeling in your heart to actually bring you to a bondage instead of really showing your freedom in Jesus Christ. And tonight, Jesus Christ wants to set you free. If you're married, from your wife and your husband, and whatever problems you may have with each other. In whatever area of your marriage you're lacking in, or the problem may be that maybe your husband doesn't love you, or maybe you don't love your husband, tonight, before you walk out of this building, Jesus Christ wants to fill you with His supernatural love. A love that only can come through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Nobody else can give you this love. You see, tonight I want to share with you what is the true nature of the love of God. And the first thing that Paul the Apostle shares with us in verse 4, he says, is that agape love suffers long. Now, let me give you a little Greek study here in each word. We're going to deal with 16 of the characteristics of the love of God. I'm not going to do them too long. I'm just going to do them short so you can have a real view of God's love. But the first thing that I see here in the word suffering long, literally here in the Greek, it means to be long-spirited. It means to be long-spirited. The word is used 10 times in the New Testament. Only 10 times do you find the word suffer long in the New Testament. That's all. And the word here in its meaning, it means to be patient with people who are, notice, who aggravate you. Those people that you can't stand. When you can stand them, you know that you're learning how to suffer long. You begin to learn about the love of God. And it's neat because in the suffering long, he also declares here that it's to be kind or to do good to those who are constantly irritating your life and you can't get rid of them. They're constantly in your presence. And so when I come to the word suffered long, I need to be long-spirited, which means that everything I go through, and if I do go through those things in the real motivation of love and the love of God, agape love, then I'm going to learn how to be long-spirited. I'm going to learn how to be long-winded. You see, I'm going to be able to put up with other people, and I'm going to be able to minister to them as I learn to love them. That's what he says there. Now, the second word that he uses here is the word is kind. And the word kind here in the Greek, it means this, is to show oneself useful in act of benevolence or a type of goodness and courtesy coming from the heart and represents an active counterpart to forbearance, which means that you go out of your way to be kind to other people that are not kind to you. Man, and that is hard. The other word that he uses here, it's envieth not. That means that he is not jealous. There's no jealousy involved in real love. It means to have a warmth of feeling for or against another person. The word is used 12 times in the New Testament. And every time the word is used, it is used either for the good or for the bad, for it or against it, having jealousy or not having jealousy for a person. And this type of love never ever is jealous for somebody else having a brand new car or buying a house or having a boyfriend, having a girlfriend, or having a better job. Never, never is jealous. You're glad for them because they're better off than you. And there's no grudging in your heart. That's agape love. Now that's hard because sometimes we look at other people and they may have more than we have. And a lot of times we can't keep up with other people. And so we become jealous. But real love doesn't do that. Real love rejoices. Say, man, I praise God for my brother that he is being prosperous. And I thank God. I'm continuing to pray for him that he will continue to be prosperous. You're satisfied where God has you. You're not coveting after somebody else. The other word that he uses here also about love is it vaunted not itself. Now, this is good. Because the Greek here says this. It says that this type of love is not a braggart or a boaster or a windbag. You ever see people that all they do is talk about themselves? They're always bragging how they can do better than everybody else. Oh yeah, you caught a 10-pound trout. I caught a 20-pound trout. They're always bigger than you. Always trying to compete with you. Always trying to get ahead of you. They're constantly bragging and boasting, and they become big bags of wind. That's what it says in the Greek here. You don't brag. Your promotion comes from the Lord. He's the one that promotes you. This is the type of love that we are not to have, but the love that is not bragging, that is not boasting, that is not a big bag of wind. But in the love that we are to have here is a love that is gentle, that is quiet and peaceable, and it just kind of kicks back and lets the Lord do its promotion. Now, the other word that he uses here is the word that he uses that this type of agape love never, never is puffed up. Notice verse 4. Agape is not puffed up. Now, the word puffed up here in the Greek also means this. It means to inflate, to make proud, to make haughty, or to become a big bag of wind. That's what it means. A person that is puffed up. And it's sad because here in this love that he uses here, it's a love that never inflates itself, never is made proud, always has humility, always decreasing, and Jesus always increasing in my life. John the Baptist is a good example of this love. Moses is a good example of this love. Never ever is this love ever puffed up. Notice verse 5. Agape does not behave itself unseemly. Now the word unseemly here is unbecoming in the Greek. And here literally it means this. It's only used here. There's no Greek words found like this in the New Testament. The only time we find the word unseemly or unbecoming is here in 1 Corinthians 13, 5. It means an act of unbecomingly or behave dishonorably before people. That this type of love never, ever, ever behaves dishonorably in front of people, but always honors people. Always honoring other people. That's the type of love that he speaks about here. Also, he says that this type of love never seeks her own. And the word here that he uses for seeking her own, it means it's not self-seeking. And in a good sense, the word has in its Greek context, it means to seek, such as to worship God, or in the bad sense, to make a plot against another person. That's what it means in its Greek context. The word in the New Testament is found 119 times in the New Testament as an example. For good and for bad. Either for a plot or in the worship of God. So agape love here is speaking that this real love of Jesus Christ never is seeking her own. Because we see Jesus as he came into his own. And yet he never was seeking his own self. But he was always giving of himself to others. Always. Never too tired to minister to people. Always, always giving. The other word that he uses here is not easily provoked, or literally, it's not exasperated. It's not exasperated. Now, the word easily was put in there by the translator, so in your Bible you can circle it. That's not in any Greek context. You won't find it in a Greek context. Literally, it should read like this. It is not provoked. The word easily was put by the translators there. And it's neat because when he speaks about not being exasperated, in the Greek it means to experience a sensation or an impression, usually painful by mourning or by sorrow. And this is what the love of God does to you. Always, always giving, 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 never expecting anything in return. And the word is found four times in the New Testament only. Now, the next word that he uses here, verse 5 at the end, he says that agape love never thinks any evil. Think it not evil in the Greek means, the word to think means to take an inventory. And the word evil in the Greek means worthless or depraved or injurious. So literally the word here is saying this, that agape love always before it begins to work takes an inventory in itself. And we must take an inventory in our life before we can begin to minister to other people, so that we can give that real beautiful love of Jesus Christ to people. And this love that we give to them is not going to be evil, but it's going to be in pureness to God. In pureness, the love of God to other people as he gave to us. Because it never is going to think anything evil. Also, it says that this type of agape love never rejoices in iniquity. The word rejoice in the Greek means to be cheerful, to be happy, or to be well off. The word iniquity means unrighteousness or wrongful doing. And the word truth here means truth concerning anything that has to do with God. So agape love always rejoices in everything that is good, but never rejoices in anything that is evil. Ever. And this is the type of love that we are to have in our characteristic in our own lives. Constantly. All the way through. Then he says this, and I found this interesting. He says, but always rejoices in the truth. You see, and who is the truth? Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Agape love bears all things. Now, I found that very hard in my life. The word beareth all things in the Greek means to roof over or to cover with silence. When somebody gets on your case or you have been hurt, you don't say anything, but you put a roof over your life and you keep quiet. And you take it all in. You don't explode in front of people. You don't show your feelings that you hate them or that you're going to get them or that you're hurting. You just kind of hide it, and that agape love hides it all. That's the word that is used here. Bears all things. The other word that he uses is that agape love also believes all things. And the word believeth all things here, it means to have faith or to entrust or to trust God for everything that he has for us. All the time. Always believes what God has to say. Real love can be trusted, but not the other type of love can be trusted, because man, it's not of God. Now, he also declares that this agape love hopes all things. And the word hope here means to expect or to confide. It hopes all things. As people come to you and they counsel with you and they share with you, you're hoping that God's love is going to work in their lives and there's going to be victory in that person's life because your hope is in Jesus Christ. I love that. Because I give up pretty easy, but when I begin to put that word hope in agape love, then I can wait as long as God wants to wait, and I can wait because it's his time, not my time. And then the other word that he uses here, and this is something hard for me too, is that real agape love endures all things, and that's something that I have never been able to endure. You know what it means in the Greek? It means this, it stays under and it remains. It doesn't strike back. It doesn't strike back. You know, next time I drive the freeways, I'm going to remember this word. Because so many times as people do something to me, the first thing that I want to do is I do not want agape them by enduring all things, but I'm seeking already for a plan how to get rid of them. See, that's my carnal mind. But if my real love of Jesus Christ is in my life, it is in my heart, then I'm going to be able to bear those that cut me off, those that flip me off, those that cuss me out. Not that I'm weak. Not that I'm a sissy. But because I must, because of agape love. Why? Because I start thinking what Jesus had to go through when he stood before Pilate. And they begin to smack him in the face. And then they spit on his face. And then they gave him 39 stripes in his back. And then they took a cup of salt and put it on his back. And then they gave him a cross. And then as he carried his cross down the city of Jerusalem up to Golgotha to the Mount of Calvary, there they took him and they put him down and they put nails through his hands and through his feet. And then they hung him on his cross. And before they hung him, they dropped him in a 3-foot hole. And as he dropped, he ripped. And not once did he ever say to the centurions, God's going to get you. He kept quiet. And the only word that came out of his mouth, he said, I thirst. And instead of giving him water to drink, they tried to give him vinegar with hyssop to slow the pain down, like an anesthetic for those that were being crucified. And he didn't. You know what a psalmist says, Psalm 22? That when he asked for water, it's because his tongue was literally glued to the top of his mouth. That was Jesus. He endured all things. And he looked up to the sky. He said, Father, forgive them because I love them. And when Jesus Christ had declared it, he said, Father, I commit my spirit unto you. And he gave up the ghost. And the centurions came by to break his legs, for in those days the literal crucifixion was actually the breaking of the legs. As the person was being crucified like this in this position, he had his knees this way. And what he would do is he would push up. You see, as long as he would push up, he would keep the pressure on his chest from suffocation. But the moment they would break your knees would give and you would suffocate to death. And when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. He dismissed his spirit. Nobody took his spirit from him. He had the power to dismiss his life. And when they came to Jesus, they took a spear and they put it to the side next to his heart. And when they stuck it next to his heart, all of a sudden, this water and blood came forth. Now, medically, the water and the blood, it's a little bag that actually collects when a person ruptures his heart. He collects water and blood. And when that bag literally breaks, medically speaking, it literally has been ruptured because of the affection and because of that pain and suffering that person had to go through. And you know what Jesus Christ died of? He died of a broken heart for you and for me. That's what he died of. He died of a broken heart because he loved us so much. He loved us so much that he wasn't willing that not one person would ever perish, but all should come to him and receive that love because he loved us so much.
Today, as you meditate on Christ's astounding sacrificial love, we encourage you to think about the ways you can share the greatness of His heart with other people in your life. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ruiz. Now, each of these messages on God's grace can be heard again by getting the podcast through iTunes or Spotify. Or if you'd like to get just today's teaching, call us and we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. Our phone number is 800-634-9165. Be sure and ask for Raul's teaching titled, The Nature of Love. To further inspire you to go the extra mile in blessing others with godly compassion, we'd like to tell you about Raul's 3-CD audio pack simply titled Grace. You'll see that just as the Lord fills your life with good gifts out of the richness of His love for you, He calls you to generously pour into the lives of those He's put in your path. Because God has forgiven and transformed us, we can be living witnesses of His saving grace. So contact us to purchase Raul's inspiring new CD series, Celebrating the Lord's Life-Giving Mercy. when you visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you this 3-CD Grace Collection for a gift of $17.95. Our number again is 800-634-9165. You can also write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We'd also like to tell you about several ways you can connect with us here at Somebody Loves You Radio. Our app is easy to download to your iPhone or Android, and in addition to Rawls teaching, you can access digital Bible studies and a convenient scripture reading plan. You'll also want to join Rawl on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific for Straight Talk, a weekly Q&A program that offers Bible-based guidance for your daily life. This ministry is made possible through the partnership of listeners like you. Your generosity helps keep us on the air, and every gift is tax deductible. Be sure and join us again next time as we explore God's redemptive work in the lives of four imperfect women. You'll see how grace can cut through all of your weaknesses to accomplish God's perfect will for your life.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.